It's bonus pod 261.
You enter Driftwood World. It's like a huge, like, industrial park style shop. Like, it's a hangar, basically, and it's got Driftwood World on the outside. For all your driftwood needs, it says under the title. And you've gone because you need a bit of driftwood to write some, to pin notes on. Instead of a corkboard, you're thinking, I'm going to get myself a bit of driftwood and I'll pin my ideas and reminders onto that. Just make it a bit different. Just be a bit fun. And you go into Driftwood World and it's shelves and shelves and shelves of driftwood. And you go, wow, they found all this driftwood? Because, you know, driftwood has to be found. That's how you get this natural look and shape. And there are all these employees looking at you smiling, and they've got the badge on that says, ask me about my favorite wood. And then it says Charlene or George or Aziz. And you go, hi, guys. And they go, hi, welcome to Driftwood World. And you go, oh, so it's all driftwood here, huh? And their eyes glisten, like glaze over, and they get a nervous smile. And they go, yes, all real driftwood, all found. And you look up, and all these signs are hanging around the shop saying, 100% real driftwood, found, not made, found. And you go, wow, it must be hard finding this much driftwood. You must be out and about for ages sifting through riverbanks and beaches. And they nod again with this kind of nervous smile. Yes, yes, it takes a while. Ha ha ha. And you go, wow. And then you hear a quiet. And you go, what was that? And everyone goes, oh no, this is just the music we put on. And they turn the radio up and it's Texas Hold'em by Beyonce. This ain't Texas. And you go, oh, it didn't sound like that. But you go, anyway, I'm off to look for some driftwood. And they're like, please look along. And you walk down the aisles, you're looking, browsing all the driftwood. You hear again, huh? But while you're glancing down, walking down the aisle, you also see signs that say, this is all real driftwood. It's found. We promise we found it. It's real driftwood. And you go, okay. They seem to have too many of these signs, actually. It's actually making me suspicious. You hear again, getting louder now. What is that loud noise? And it gets louder and louder until you're by a door. You've walked to the back of this huge barn of driftwood. And this is just metal door, and it says staff only. But right behind you, this door, you realize where this noise is coming from. And you go, I need to see what this is. And you open the door. And you look through the door. And the door opens up onto a forest. It's just the back of the industrial estate. And Phil and Pierre are holding chainsaws. Felling huge trees. Beautiful ancient trees. Pierre is felling the tree. Timber, he whispers. Timber to Phil. And Phil starts carving these fresh trees into driftwood shapes and then polishing them and waxing them to make them look like driftwood. And you go, you gasp, and you say to yourself, it's not found. They're making it from fresh wood. And Pierre hears you and turns and lifts up his goggles and says, you're not meant to be back here. And Phil stops mid-carve of a piece of driftwood, and he looks up and he says, oh dear, I'm afraid you know too much. You weren't supposed to see this. And you go, what? And clump, the door shuts behind you, turn around, and Pierre's closed the door. And he lifts up his chainsaw and he goes, you'll make a lovely piece. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
It's good. Another one where we are part of the problem.
Yeah, I find we often are part of the problem. The UK has very strict libel laws, so I don't want to imply that anyone else is part of the problem.
Yes, I think
I don't want to name anyone else as being part of the problem. I find it safest just to name us. And even then, I'm hoping you won't sue me for defamation.
Time will tell. Did you ever watch the movie Fern Gully when you were a kid?
No, I don't know what that is.
Google Fern Gully. It's the earliest piece of environmental propaganda I ever watched. It's great. A forest of like fairies and creatures or something has to fight essentially evil black ooze voiced by Tim Curry.
Wow. Robin Williams is in it?
Yeah. It's an incredible film.
Christian Slater is in it?
Film. It's great. And the evil ooze voiced by Tim Curry is genuinely frightening if you're a child.
Wow. Is it actually good?
I mean, I remember being transfixed by it, and I would describe it almost as verging on anti-industrial propaganda.
Wow. And evil... a svelte 76 minutes.
Yeah. And the evil black ooze is like squirming between gears of horrible machines and disgusting and bubbly and evil and blech.
It sounds like a film companion to our favorite show, Captain Planet.
Yes, actually. It very much of that 1990s era of Save the Ozone Layer.
The Ozone Layer.
Remember that?
Yeah. Well, it's much better now in rare climate news.
Is
it completely closed now?
I think it's basically just like an ozone spot now, a little eye hole.
It worked. I can't believe we fixed it.
It fucking worked.
We did it. Let loose, everyone. We did it. What was it? PCP they banned? Was that what was doing it?
CFC. PCP is angel dust. It's that terrifying drug that makes people bite each other's faces.
Yeah. It didn't help. Biting each other's faces.
Someone going in an alleyway, and you're like, "Hey, there's a hole in the ozone layer."
Oh, we had a climate scientist. They'd figured out how to solve the hole in the ozone layer, but on the way to the conference, they got bitten in the face by someone high on PCP. PCP once again has ruined the ozone layer. Phil was right.
People are too high to recycle.
So CFC was this chemical that was in like aerosols, right?
Yeah, something fluorocarbons.
Carbofluorocarbons, double carbo. Chlorofluorocarbons?
I think it's chlorofluorocarbons.
Chlorofluorocarbons.
I think so. Yes, they would get up into the ozone and they make a hole. And it was why Australia was dangerous for the sun.
Yeah, a lot of skin cancer in Australia because that's just some unfiltered sun shining on them folk.
They were getting raw dogged by the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ginger as hell. They were pale as hell.
They weren't prepared. The skins weren't prepared.
We very rarely get a... Here's my hot take. We should get more positive environmental news, because there is a lot.
There is a lot. There's the ozone layer. What else? A lot of renewable energy in the UK sometimes.
Huge renewable energy. In some parts of the world, solar panels are so cheap, people are using them as fencing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wowee.
There's lots of good stuff. Nuclear power, as we are very pro nuclear power.
Very pro nuclear power. Very anti-murder.
Nuclear power is only getting safer and more affordable. I saw some crazy graph which was like the long-term costs of building a nuclear power plant. Loads of it was just like debt interest repayments.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so the actual also, running costs are low.
Yeah, the running costs are very low. It's just about like, how much money you borrowed to build it if you did that. And the more you build nuclear power plants in your country, the cheaper they get. And the UK...
Why is that?
Because the building industry gets more experience. They find more efficient ways of doing things. All the stuff they need is already there from the last time they built one, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've already relocated the staff to the country, if that's necessary. I also saw some cool foundry in the UK forged from not from welding, from like a kind of single piece. They use some kind of a particle welding technique to create a reactor shell, the kind of thing that has to hold in the reaction.
Mm. A particle welding technique.
Yeah, so it, normally welding is done with two bits of metal and then a third melty bit of metal in between.
Mm-hmm.
This just shoots a beam of particles or something at the metal in such a way that it fuses with the other piece. Wow. With no... Yeah, it's amazing. Blimey. So it's as if there was never any join at all.
It's just like, right, yeah. It's just literally adding particle by particle the rest of the bar.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you build a reactor like that, it's actually more solid than if it was welded.
Because there actually aren't even any like joints. There aren't any welding points.
No.
Wow.
It's like you've milled it from a solid piece.
Incredible.
And, Phil, they did this with a full solid, whatever it is, mega steel fucking reactor in like a day or something. It took like a weekend to do it, whereas normally it takes something like 15 weeks or 150 days. Or
where are you reading about this?
I just say it pops up on my Twitter because I liked enough pro-nuclear stuff.
Oh, that, I need to do that.
It pops up on stuff. Let me find it. But isn't that amazing? All they need is for like the International Energy Body to approve it, and then you just have the reactors. You just fucking queef them out, Phil.
Yeah, yeah. And as for the protesters, I think they should just pretend they're not nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
Just say, we're building a new arboretum. So you can look at more trees. And I was like, oh, great. And then they turn up next week and it's a nuclear power plant. And they're like, what the heck? But you go, oh, sorry, man. Can't get rid of them now. It's too late.
It's an electron beam welding system.
Woof.
How cool does that sound? You guys can't see this, but Phil's absolutely rigid.
Honk! Do you hear that?
That's right. Sheffield Forge Masters, that was it. It's in Sheffield, baby.
Beautiful stuff.
Local electron Beautiful. Beam welding and completed weld assembly of a nuclear vessel demonstrator assembly. A diameter of 3 meters, and the walls are 200 millimeters thick.
So that's they laser big... like the sort of particle glue like onto the surface, and then they stick the other piece on top?
I'm not sure. How does it work, electron beam welding? But isn't that exciting? And that should be bigger news. But the trouble is it's science, and the UK is not a science literate country.
Which is funny, because we're very good at science and engineering at the top level.
Yeah.
Do you think as a population, we're less scientifically literate than other developed nations?
Yeah, definitely. For example, France and Germany, you have to do science at a better level for longer in high school.
Mm. This is also, one thing I was on board, I agreed with Sunak about just making people do more maths. And everyone's like, all these wet people online going, this is not right. I want to do the sculptures. But I think you just end up being mathematically illiterate if you're not forced to do it.
It's also just like, I think it's one of the reasons why engineers have such a lower average salary in the UK compared to other countries. And if you are going to be an engineer and make an amazing salary in the UK, it has to be in North Sea oil.
Right.
But like the average wages are much lower. Like you should just move to the Netherlands or Germany.
That's most professions in the UK at the moment.
But not lawyers, for example.
Not the financial people and...
Not financial people, not lawyers, not movie actors, not comedians.
That's true. That is true. I'm thinking doctors, teachers.
Yeah.
Academics? No, that's probably bad
I'm
everywhere
I'm not sure
you
about
go.
That.
Journalists? I think that's bad everywhere.
Yeah, because there's just no one will ever pay for any writing. No one will pay for writing. Welding process. This is too complex to explain on the podcast.
Well, that is good news. That is good news. That's your spicy take for the week. There should be more good
environmental news, because as Dr. Matthew Winning, comedian and our friend, who's Dr. Matthew Winning of the UCL Climate Research Department, points out in his book, Hot Mess, the more devastating and doom-obsessed you make your fucking environmentalism, the more people just go, oh, well, fuck it then.
Yeah, absolutely. It has,
especially in the UK, where people are in a position to go, no, I think we'll just not do that then, and then we'll just get to the point where it's so bad we'll machine gun any refugees that try and come here.
Yeah.
If there's going to be a global war in 100 years where Africa is boiling hot and unlivable, and so is most of South America, and so is most of Asia, and all those places try and move north and south latitudes to more habitable zones, then these people are going, well, first of all, it's 100 years from now and I'll be dead. Secondly, you're telling me that's unavoidable. Thirdly, well, okay, then it'll be such an emergency, we'll be justified in like becoming a fortress and not letting anyone in then.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll just kill everyone. It'll just be like the fucking apocalypse.
Yeah. No, you have to give people hope. You have to give people a way out.
It's true. There is a way out. Things are going well. It will be fine.
Do you think we'll be fine? Do you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it will be fine. I'm not saying it'll be ideal.
Yeah.
But it will be fine.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the kind of salve you pay your patron subscription for.
Also, remember how much everyone was going on about, oh, the population of the world. The population of the world! The entire developed world is having a depopulation crisis now, including China.
Yes, that is true.
So, you know, I have spent 10 years telling people that the population of the world is leveling off and, in fact, is going to go down soon. And they've gone, but what about the... There won't be any room to put my socks away! Oh! They've just been so obsessed with it, with a graph from the 80s showing population growth.
Yeah, but I think they're picturing just like the countries as they are now emptying into Western Europe and Britain.
Yeah, but then the solution to that is to just go super hard on foreign aid and birth control and build a bunch of nuclear power plants.
It all comes back to the nukes.
Yeah, if everything was nuclear, there would be no problem.
Launch the nukes, by which I mean nuclear power plants.
If we had enough nukes, we'd have so much spare energy that we could desalinate more than enough water to re-water all the drying up rivers and lakes and things. We could have infinite energy if we wanted to. We could terraform the world. We just have to do it. I mean, that's the dream scenario. But overall, I think it will be fine. There will be the same number of wars in the hot bits of the world as there are now, especially in the Sahel in Africa. But no one here gives a shit about those anyway, so I don't know why they give a shit about it in a way that makes them worried about yogurt pot recycling.
Well, yeah, I think...
The connection just isn't there. It's just anxiety.
Yeah.
Should recycle.
Well, no, and people care a lot less about what is actually happening now than what might happen in the future. And that's coming from an expert in worrying about what happens in the future.
We're both experts in anxiety, but every time I talk to someone, they're going on about, like, they're going to flood East Anglia, and they're never worried about Mali. It should be Mali that they're worried about.
Yeah, it's also very mentally unhealthy for the generation that has taken it on the most, which is Gen Z. I mean, like, climate protesters, these young people just bursting into tears, like literally bursting into tears and protest and saying they have got no future.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not good. It's not good to make people feel that way. Even if
it's also not useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you were in an emergency and it's like, okay, if we stay disciplined, and we're careful, and we don't lose hope, we can make it out of this burning building. If someone's reaction, you know, is like that, then you might actually have a chance of surviving. Whereas if your reaction is to go, and let's like scream and go, you don't understand, fire is so bad, then you're not going to make it out.
Yeah.
And the fact is that all the people blocking climate reform have started to die of old age anyway. They'll all be dead in 10 years. And then the brakes will really come off.
Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping. But yeah. I'm worried there's a whole new generation now being... A whole new generation of anti-nuclear people being created by...
I mean, anti-nuclear maybe, but other stuff will be allowed to come through, because even the far-right media online doesn't say climate change doesn't exist anymore. That has become like saying COVID doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Which is a huge deal. When you and me were at school, the majority of British media was skeptical.
Well, I remember when Prince Charles was considered kind of silly and a bit of a kook for being really into environmental stuff. And
yeah.
And now it's he's completely normal.
Yeah, I think it's changed so much, and it's easy to forget that. And it's just not healthy to think of it like... I once dated someone who would have nightmares about climate change.
Oof, yeah.
Like nightmares, like emotional nightmares. They would lose sleep over it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are in the government, there is no reason for that to be happening to you. I don't have nightmares about the lack of new naval shipbuilding initiatives in the UK.
That is bad, though.
It is bad.
It is bad.
It's especially bad.
They keep not launching. They keep dropping nukes into the sea next to the submarine. We haven't talked about this. They just keep doing these demonstrations of, look at our nukes, and it's just like a floppy dick just goes bloop into the water next. Yep. Not an ideal time to be doing that.
What's your spice, Phil? Come on.
My spice, My spice is that. I think we need too much sleep. I'm angry with the human body for how much sleep I need. And I wish there was a medicine. We need to come up with some medicine that means I only need an hour of sleep. Because I just need too much sleep. How much sleep can a boy have? It's like I'm still a teenager.
Crystal meth.
Ah, sorry. They have invented a way out.
Yeah. How much sleep do you need?
The will to do it. How much sleep do you need? If I don't get 8 hours, I'm tired. And even then, I'm like mysteriously sleepy. This is terrible. I think I'm not getting that, what do they call it? Like golden sleep? Or golden, like premier sleep? Or platinum sleep?
Sleep plus?
It's the sleep you get between like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. or something like this.
Sleep plus, sleep diamond, sleep executive club.
That's it. Sleep premium. Sleep prime.
Yeah. You're not getting sleep prime.
I'm not getting sleep prime. I was talking to some friend today about like, I get in bed. It doesn't feel like bedtime unless it's midnight for me as a night owl. And I'll get in bed like, I'll be up. I've been really good. I'm in bed at 10:30. Look at me. And then I sit in bed and I go, well, I guess I have to burn an hour and a half because it's not bedtime yet. You know?
But you can't go to bed before you're tired.
But I am tired, really, because I'm always tired.
Well, then,
I know. This is a quandary. It is a quandary. I think the problem is I'm a 34-year-old man who still doesn't have a daily routine.
Because
of how our work is.
Yes, that's true. I've actually had a routine by virtue of living with someone with a normal life. For quite a while.
That's healthy.
Yeah, it is. Although you do lose the opportunity to kind of go, actually, I've got this great idea, and do like a couple of hours work in the middle of the night, which I used to do a lot.
Did you actually get up in the middle of the night to do work?
I didn't say I got up.
Oh, you just dragged the laptop onto your chest?
Yeah, or I would just, I don't know, if I had a project to work on, I wouldn't see it as unusual to sort of go, well, I can start working at that working on that at 10 p.m.
Mm.
I'm not going to sleep till midnight, like you said, or later. So, what's the difference for me? What's the difference between 10 p.m. and 5 p.m.?
I very much feel the difference.
But you don't drink enough caffeine, whereas I've got a constant drip into my anus.
Do you drink coffee after 6 p.m.?
Yeah, sometimes.
I carumba. You're a bigger man than me. Stronger man. Finer man. Well, speaking of good, strong, fine people, we better read... Ah! Maybe duh.
Vipco.
Vipco.
Tamsin.
I would put my house on Tamsin.
Tamsin is the one who messaged us a little while back about how funny she found your sadness at me not seeing that girl flash her boobs.
Oh yes, that's right.
When you immediately said, "I'm so sorry."
It was a tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tamsin says, to my dearest Plopple and Sharty.
Oh, thank you. Laurel and Hardy.
Of course. Of course. Please help me unpack the image I have emailed you, sent 26 Jan. I don't have any words, but I'm sure you're to do. I'm sure you're to do. Love you lots, Koji Tamsin. So the message... I forgot to mention, I saw this on Rob Delaney's Instagram stories.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This can't be real. This can't be real.
What is it?
It says, notice.
It's a sign?
It's a sign in a chemical toilet.
Okay.
OSHA law. So OSHA and OSHA law.
OSHA law. So notice OSHA law.
OSHA law 1342.13B. Any turd 6 inches in length or longer must be hand lowered into the toilet to prevent chemical flashback. Splashback.
A flashback. Oh no. I'm getting flashbacks of a huge turd.
I'm getting an acid flashback from this turd. That can't be right.
OSHA. Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
I'm afraid, Tamsin, it's a joke sticker.
Yeah.
I think it's a joke sticker.
It must be. Well, only because you can't put turd in an official sign. Come on.
Also, as someone points out on Reddit, how do you know till it's out?
Exactly. You can't feel it in you. You don't know.
You don't know. Do you find that? You don't know
unless,
till it's out?
Unless you stick your hands under it and just in case every time. And then when it ends short enough, you just release the hands.
Well, which of course sounds mad, but so many women have messaged into this podcast about how they were trained, in some cases by their mothers, to catch their turds in a mitt.
Yeah, of course. Haven't you been to finishing school?
You walk with a book on your head and a turd mitt in your purse. And you crouch like an ape and ferry it into the water like Moses. Terrible. Do you think that maybe you'd reach between your legs with a ruler and a pair of scissors and you just snip the poo off like rope?
Oh, come on. Why do you have to make it gross?
Someone on Reddit points out, if the turd is long enough, splashing isn't an issue as it lowers itself. That's true.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So it's actually, there's a danger zone of above a certain length and below another length for maximum plop water displacement splash.
Right. Yeah, so I suppose if it's long enough that the tip has broken the meniscus.
Oh, God.
Is that the word, meniscus? Or is that,
it's the surface of the water, yeah.
The surface of the water. Thus breaking the surface tension. And from then on, maybe one can assume it'll enter like a professional diver with no splash.
Yes, but
before
like
that point,
an otter.
That's the danger point, yeah.
Like an otter at the edge of a lake. They slip in.
That's it. You want to do an otter poo.
Yeah, so in a way, the safest poo would either be a very small one, but then still the force could create splash from a tiny poo.
Yeah.
If you have a small poo with a big fart behind it, you know what
they say,
Phil?
Is that what a chemical toilet is, by the way? You just do a poo into a big tank of chemicals.
I suppose it can be, although you're right. Most of the time you get the blue flush, like we discussed the other day. Yeah.
It would also be a terrible design flaw of a toilet for any splashback at all to be corrosive.
Yeah. The acid toilet. Well, that's that phrase, Phil. Behind every small poo is a big fart. Isn't that a phrase?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, it is now anyway, if it wasn't before.
Yeah, yeah. There would be chemical splashback if you cannonballed a small one in there with some terrible force.
Lovely use of the word terrible there. Terrible isn't used enough in that sense. It's only ever used to be negative, but terrible, it should be something that inflicts terror.
That's it, like Ivan the Terrible. He wasn't a bad Tsar of Russia. It's because he was fucking terrifying and awesome in his power. Awesome and terrible are two of those types of words.
Well, that's the end of this terrible podcast. Thank you for all your terrible Vipco. And being such terrible fans. We really appreciate you.
Come see me at the Bloomsbury 22nd of June. Pre-order my book, please.
Absolutely do it. I love you all. Have a lovely week. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.